The X Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the X-Zone on the Talkstar Radio Network, X-Zone Broadcast Network, UK High Definition Radio, Euro High Definition Radio, Star Cable, and X-Zone TV. 1-800-610-7035, toll-free worldwide. Email X-Zone at X-ZoneRadioTV.com. On MSN Messenger, X-Zone Radio TV at Hotmail.com. And our website, www.X-ZoneRadioTV.com. There was a press conference held earlier today, and four members of the U.S. Air Force claim aliens interfered with nuclear weapons, including during one of the most famous UFO incidents in Britain. UFO researcher Robert Hastings held a press conference in Washington today to address the vital issue of UFO incursions at U.S. nuclear sites over the past six decades. Mr. Hastings said more than 100 former or retired U.S. Air Force personnel, once entrusted to operate or guard weapons of mass destruction, have come forward and revealed ongoing UFO surveillance of and occasional interference with our nuclear weapons. Now, this is a quote from Mr. Hastings. The information alters the historical perspective on the nuclear arms race and much, much more. The fact that the Pentagon and CIA have successfully kept the truth from the public for so long is in itself mind-boggling. Now, explanation, the Rendlesham Forest incident, often described as Britain's Roswell, was used as one of the examples of evidence of aliens that had targeted nuclear weapons. Now, for those of you who may not remember, the incident happened in the early hours of December the 27th, 1980, and was never fully explained. Several U.S. Air Force personnel reported seeing a strange metallic object hovering in the forests near RAF Woodbridge in Suffolk. The object apparently had left three depressions or landing marks in the ground. But papers released by the National Archives show the Ministry of Defense's final position was that there was no evidence of anything having intruded into British airspace. Joining me now on the telephone from the Washington Press Club, where this first press conference was held earlier today, is Steve Bassett. Now, Steve is the leading advocate for ending the 63-year government-imposed truth embargo regarding extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. Steve is a political activist, commentator, and columnist. He's also the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group and Political Action Committee, XPAC, and the executive producer of the X Conference. His work has been extensively covered by the international media, and the website for the Paradigm Research Group is www.paradigmresearchgroup.org. Joining me now from Washington, D.C. is Steve Bassett. Steve, how are you, good sir?
As always, I am great and happy to be on your show.
Steve, you covered the press conference. Now, I've got to take my commercial break in about a minute, Steve. Can you just set up the press conference for us?
All right. Well, keep in mind, I didn't cover it. I'm not a journalist. I'm an activist, but I was there. And it was an extremely important event. It had at least 20-some reporters in there, approximately 10 camera crews from various stations. You could not tell which, but I'm sure we're going to see a number of media video interviews. It lasted 2 hours. I left before the one-on-one interviews took place, but I'm sure they're taking place now. And most importantly, it was live-streamed by CNN the entire 2 hours. And so that will be up on CNN's site, I am certain. It will also be captured by others and will be on YouTube in due course. So the full press conference is available worldwide. And I've got much to say about it, but it's one of the most important press conferences on the subject ever held. And it could generate some substantial downstream impact.
All right, Steve, please stand by. You and I have to take our first commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Steve Bassett is our special guest. He's the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group. www.paradigmresearchgroup.org. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
With each new extreme weather event or terrorist act, it becomes increasingly obvious that we live in uncertain and challenging times. We all buy car insurance. Why not collapse and catastrophe insurance? Matthew Stein, an MIT-trained engineer and green builder, has written two outstanding books to help people prepare, plan for, and deal with everything from minor situations lasting a few days to full-on collapse. Matt's first book, When Technology Fails, is a manual for self-reliance, sustainable living, and surviving the long emergency. This massive book covers the gamut from first aid and emergency preparedness to alternative healing, renewable energy, primitive living skills, and 18th century technologies that could be critical to your comfort and survival in a long-lasting crisis. Matt's second book, When Disaster Strikes, is a comprehensive emergency preparedness handbook and survival guide. When Disaster Strikes is an essential item for every family's go bag. Both books are available at all usual sources. There's a wealth of totally free information posted at whentechfails.com, and author-signed copies may be purchased at mattstein.com. That's www.whentechfails.com and www.mattstein.com.
Named one of the world's greatest psychics, Elizabeth Joyce is now giving readings worldwide via Skype. Elizabeth Joyce is recognized for her clairvoyant ability to help find missing persons, her analysis of dreams, past life regression work, mediumship, and her accurate predictions. Elizabeth has been a frequent guest on the X-Zone radio show with yours truly, Rob McConnell, now for several years. For an appointment with Elizabeth Joyce, call 201-934-8986 or Skype at elizabeth.joyce. And for more information, you can always visit Elizabeth Joyce online at www.new-visions.com.
Have a disease that you would like to alleviate through a natural means? Have you been contacted by angels, ghosts, or even extraterrestrials and want to validate these experiences? Or would you simply like to speak with someone who can help you find your life's purpose? I'm Dr. Joseph Mara, and I'm offering my services free of charge for first-time clients contacting me during the month of April. These free consultations include angel card readings, guided meditations, life coaching, and energy healing. If you have always wanted to explore these types of experiences but were skeptical or simply could not afford them, then take advantage of this free special offer. Contact me through my website, aguidinglight, spelled LITE.com, to schedule your consultation today. Until then, I offer you love, light, and laughter.
Steve Bassett is my very special guest of this hour. Steve is has just come out of a press conference in Washington, D.C. that was held at the National Press Club. And the press conference was with reference to members of the United States Air Force coming forward and saying, hey, listen, aliens interfered with nuclear weapons. Joining me now from Washington, D.C. is Steve Bassett, who is the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group. And Steve, who was in attendance at the conference giving the press conference? And was there anything that really shocked those in attendance?
Well, the conference was put together by Robert Hastings, who is the author of UFOs and Nukes, an extremely important book that lays all of this out in obviously a much more comprehensive fashion. But of course, along the way, he had to interview many witnesses related to that subject, including a number who have come forward in the past. And that opened up the door for putting together a press conference with a number of the key witnesses, you know, coming before the media. He put this conference together with the assistance of Captain Salas, one of the key witnesses. It was reasonably well promoted in advance, got substantial advance coverage, more than I've seen in a long time, and as a result, substantial reporters were there, at least 20 and 10 camera crews. The long and the short of it is that Lieutenant Colonel Dwayne Arneson, Commander Bruce Fernsmacher, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt, researcher Robert Hastings, Lieutenant Robert Jameson, and Navy Chief Patrick McDonough, Deputy Missile Crew Commander Jerry Nelson, and Captain Robert Salas, all who over the years have been involved in incidents in which UFOs, in some cases hovering 100 feet to 300 feet off the ground, clearly discernible in terms of shape, with flashing and rotating lights, and discs running between approximately 30 and 50 feet in diameter, engage nuclear facilities, and most notably, affected nuclear missiles by shutting them down. Not destroying them, but shutting them down. They were later turned back on and were functional. These are extraordinary events. They've been known to the UFO ET research community for some time. They've gotten publicity, the initial publicity in the modern era comes when Bob Salas comes forward courageously. But the media has been able to generally sidestep it, which is what they do. I mean, that's how the truth embargo lives on. However, what these gentlemen have done is create a two-hour press conference that was soberly and low-key delivered, wrapped up by signed affidavits from each of the witnesses. It was run tight. It was only really open to the press, credentialed press, and political staffers, so they've shown up. There were only a couple of public sitting in the back. And it was just solid from beginning to end. There were some speculations, of course, that emerged regarding the intention of extraterrestrials in these events. Were they threatening? Were they sending a message? It's all provocative, but they made it clear these were speculations. Only the ETs know exactly what their intentions were with respect to these incidents.
Mm-hmm.
The questions from the media were strong. They were fine. There was only one silly question asked, and that was from the reporter from, wait for it, the Washington Post.
What was his question?
And I'm sorry?
What was his question?
After listening to 2 hours of extraordinarily compelling
mm-hmm.
and important national security testimony, his question was, how come the audio tape of Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt regarding that he made the night that he was out, you know, the night he was out there trying to address what was happening in Rendlesham Forest, turned up at some cocktail parties. I almost fell off my chair. But let me state, I say this without knowing what this gentleman's article is going to be, but I'm sure he's going to write something. It'll be in the Washington Post tomorrow. And it may be a great article, but if it reflects that question, then it sadly reinforces the fact of the huge tragedy that the Washington Post, this well-known and established political paper of record in America, has utterly failed its readership and the American people by an abysmal coverage of this issue. It's an absolute journalistic disgrace that I do not think they can ever possibly live down. And I don't think even the great Robert Bob Woodward can save them. And he's never covered the issue. But who knows? Maybe just got to write an article. But that was the only ridiculous question. Let me point out that Charles Holt got up there and laid that question completely to rest, made clear what happened, how that happened, and left him absolutely no wiggle room to work off of that. And he asked it in a rather smug way. Again, I reach out to the Washington Post and say, please, for the sake of your legacy, for the sake of all the good you have done over the years, and the paper has done some great reportage, end your complicity in this truth embargo and stop acting like idiots and start covering this issue with solid reportage. It's still not too late.
You know, Steve and I had Peter Davenport on the show last week, and Peter was saying the biggest problem with UFO, the UFO field right now, is that there are not enough qualified investigators hitting the streets, you know, pounding the pavement to get the investigation information that is so critical, that everything is done electronically, sitting behind a desk now.
Well, let's understand something. With almost no exceptions, all the investigators that have been in this field have not been paid.
Yeah.
There's no money. There's no research funding. There's nothing. These people have gone into their own pockets. Now some of them have gone bankrupt. Some of them have destroyed themselves over this issue. And so while I appreciate, why isn't there, you know, think tanks? Why isn't there high-paid investigators? The government has embargoed this issue for 60 years. It has made it a national state policy that there's nothing here. And they've even gone so far as to undermine the issue, embarrass the people in it, ridicule it, plant silly articles and tabloids that the government founded to the CIA. We're talking about a massive effort of misrepresentation of reality. And the citizens that have engaged us have done so out of their own pocket. And so, you know, I wish there were millions and millions of dollars, but there isn't. And so we need to stop, you know, I guess, pointing at the field and saying, why didn't you do that, and why didn't you do this, and why haven't this? And just point at the real problem. The real problem is a state political policy that the acknowledgement and the development of a collective understanding of an extraterrestrial engagement is not to be permitted under state policy. That is the problem. And until we focus there and end that policy of embargo, we will continue to operate in a highly limited situation where the mainstream, highly paid media
give
a free ride and do nothing.
Now, yesterday, a story broke out of the United Kingdom, and the story is from The Telegraph. The headline is, UN to appoint space ambassador to greet alien visitors. A space ambassador could be appointed by the United Nations to act as the first point of contact for aliens trying to communicate with Earth. Maslan Othman, a Malaysian astrophysicist, is set to be tasked with coordinating humanity's response if and when extraterrestrials make contact. Aliens who landed on Earth and asked, take me to your leader, would be directed to Mrs. Othman. Is this a sign of the times? Is this a sign that, you know, more and more people are saying, what's the truth, that you've got the United Nations now jumping on board?
Well, yes. In a few words, what's going on is that the embargo is in its last days.
Mm-hmm.
A growing number of people know this. Some have noticed for some time. And obviously it's a big deal. And there are many, many institutions out there who have much to answer for, who want to be involved in the issue appropriately, whether it's the Air Force, the Navy, the Army, the CIA, the Catholic Church, the UN, political parties, you name it. And what they're doing, and scientists, mainstream scientists that don't want to be looked at as like, gee, how'd you miss that, like Stephen Hawking? What they're doing, without, again, I guess, putting themselves at too much risk, is they're positioning themselves. They're putting out little statements, or they're taking measures, such as many of these countries that are releasing thousands of UFO files, to position themselves, to the extent they can, on the right side of the issue, on the side of the angels, as it were. And the UN, poor UN, which has been marginalized by the Cold War, you know, dominated Security Council, which has been allowed to degrade, to become corrupt, has been underfunded and ridiculed by the right in America mostly, but from other directions, is sitting up there and knows full well, there are plenty of people in the UN that know there's an ET presence, and it's thinking, you know, gee, we ought to be the ones that are sort of engaging this on behalf of the planet. The ETs didn't come down here to, what, hang with the Democratic Party or the Catholics. They are engaging the entire human race. But we're just neglected, and so this is a small measure on their part to sort of raise their hand and say, "Don't forget about us."
Right.
And while it's not significantly impacting in terms of the issue, it is important in that it's going to raise a number of news stories. This is an easy news story. Now, most of the news stories are a little bit silly, and they're mischaracterizing what happened. I mean, they essentially are saying, "Look, this issue seems to be increasingly in the public's awareness." And we do have an outer space affairs office, and so we're going to designate this in the person as kind of a go-to person if things go wrong. Nothing unusual about that. So you combine that with the repeated statements by the Catholic Church that the ET issue is not a problem for them, the fact that they've held now two exobiology conferences in Rome, one at the Vatican, one nearby. When you look at the Royal Society of London holding an exobiology conference, shortly after the Vatican's conference, the statement by Stephen Hawking, yeah, ETs are almost certainly out there, but don't talk to them. These are all positioning maneuvers.
All right, stand by, Steve. Yes. We've got to take our commercial break with the news. Please stand by. ExoNation, Steve Bassett is our special guest this hour. He is the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group. Their website is www.paradigmresearchgroup.org. And we'll be back on the other side of this news break as the Exxon continues from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. My name's Rob McConnell. Don't go away.
Are you considering calling a psychic to read your situation? Then consider David Champion, a psychic medium for more than 20 years with thousands of readings under his belt. David Champion will make you feel comfortable. He has proven to be honest and accurate. He's a straight shooter. There's no guesswork. What he sees is what you get. While he is a medium, most of the calls focus on relationships, not only love, but work, school, neighbors, and more. Need help with finding a job and preparing for the interview? Are you dealing with people who are obstacles in your path? For more information, go to davidchampion.com, $1.50 per minute, paid by credit card, with a minimum of 30 minutes. For your reading with David Champion, call 1-877-702-8598. That's 1-877-702-8598.
Now you can dial in to listen to the X Zone Radio Show from anywhere in the world with Rob McConnell 24/7 365 by dialing 213-401-0080. That's 213-401-0080. If you have a mobile phone or landline, the X Zone Radio Show with Rob McConnell is now at your beck and call at 213-401-0080. That's 213-401-0080 24/7 365.
You're listening to the X-Zone Radio Show, live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network.
X-Zone Broadcast Network.
UK High Definition Radio.
Euro High Definition Radio.
And Star Cable. Our toll-free telephone number worldwide is 1-800-610-7035.
Our email address, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com.
On MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv@hotmail.com.
And our website,
www.xzoneradiotv.com. Stephen Bassett's our special guest. He's the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group. Their website is www.paradigmresearchgroup.org. Steve, was there anything that you yourself was unaware of when it comes to the information that has been out over the years in the field of ufology that came out today that has never been revealed before?
I'm pretty knowledgeable on the subject, so I was aware of most everything that was mentioned today by the seminary witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm pretty sure that a good deal, most of the reporters in that room were hearing it for the first time, which is fine. You know, it's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Probably the one thing that caught my attention was that the reporter for the Stars and Stripes, which is a publication which serves the American military,
mm-hmm.
Asked Robert Hastings if there had been any recent sightings since the ones that were being mentioned in this press conference, I think,
right.
That went up through 1980. And Robert mentioned that there had been a number, 2007, 2003, and several others that he was aware of and was researching. And the reason that those were not included in today's press conference were that the people involved, in almost every case, were still serving military. And they are not prepared to come before the public until such time as they leave the military. So what he was saying is that incidents in and around nuclear facilities involving the ET craft are continuing to go on. Now, the other thing I want to mention, and this is very intriguing, both Robert Salas and Robert Hastings made it clear in their presentation that they personally believe that these events are fundamentally not hostile. Now, the other six gentlemen there were not so committal. They kind of stood down from those speculations. I think the sense I got was that they may be leaning that way, but they're not prepared to make a definitive speculation. And this was asked and brought up by several of the reporters, and it's a non-trivial matter. What are the intentions of the ETs with respect to this? And obviously, if we weren't living under a truth embargo,
mm-hmm.
this would be a wonderful debate that you would be seeing all over the television, perhaps in the colleges and universities, where people would be interpreting this evidence and events and saying, well, what do you think their intention is? But of course, those debates don't take place.
But you know, you've got to
don't happen.
You know, there's a lot of difference of opinion within even the organizations like the United Nations. For example, if we look at the Outer Space Treaty of 1967, UN members agreed to protect Earth against contamination by alien species by sterilizing them. Like, that doesn't sound like a very nice way to welcome anybody.
Well, I understand that was a long time ago. I think their principal concern was, you know, there's evidence of the existence of life mm-hmm. in space, that it can actually move through space and certain forms, panspermia.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a legitimate concern about possible contamination. We're sending probes out. We're bringing some back from engaging comets,
mm-hmm.
from engaging the moon and Mars, last engaging the moon. We may eventually bring probes back from Mars. But that's what that was about. It wasn't like, oh, if any ETs went out to sterilize. But, you know, it's really crude. I mean, you wouldn't see something like that today. The fact is that you can be assured that behind the truth embargo, behind the facade, there are highly sophisticated groups within our military intelligence world and within the military intelligence world of the United Kingdom, but certainly China and Russia, who are thinking about and developing protocols to deal with full open contact should it take place. And that linking is highly sophisticated. Obviously, we know nothing about that, because if they were to allow such thinking to come forward, it could bring the truth embargo to an end, and they're not ready to end it.
All right, but
I'm not concerned about our sophistication in the matter, only that the public has been denied involvement too long.
All right, you said a few seconds ago, should alien contact? Why would you say that if you are so sure that they are here, and even when talking about the military and what they might do, you know, why would you use should alien contact?
Yes, that is let me clarify, you're right. I'm glad you caught that, Robert. What I meant by that is, should full open alien contact take place, where it's not, you know, in the middle of the night, one-on-one between a human and ETs, or events that are taking place that are not out in the open, but rather open, acknowledged contact. Ships in the skies, people know it. Engagement between ETs and government, people know it. That kind of contact. Believe me, there's plenty of contact going on, but I refer to that. It is we're beyond disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
We're now in the post-disclosure world. We're now in the post-open contact world. That's another major step forward. And what I'm saying is that I can assure you, down in the deep recesses of the military intelligence world, highly sophisticated thinking and protocols are being put together to deal with that situation when it comes around. So these things you see happening on the surface, the odd thing by the UN, statements in the past, that's all it's not substantive, really. It's part of the mirage that has been created in order to service the truth embargo.
But how can the government agencies cover up such sightings as the Phoenix Lights? Like, thousands of people saw it, and yet, here we are several years later, and it's basically been forgotten.
Well, if they didn't cover it up. The truth embargo is a highly sophisticated management program. I mean, they can't, quote, make the UET secret. They're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They can't kill all the witnesses off. What they had to do, and it wasn't easy, but they had plenty of money and basically carte blanche during the Cold War, what they had to do is to ghettoize the issue. This is a very, very useful and highly effective tool. Is if you can ridicule it, isolate it, ghettoize it, in this case the walls were not made of bricks, they were made of ridicule, then you can prevent it from becoming an accepted and appropriate consensus. If you can keep the Congress from engaging it, few or no hearings. If you can keep the media from going past a certain point, if you can prevent funding of citizens' groups and citizens' research, again, by ridiculing the issue so people are just too afraid to touch it, if you can keep the colleges from teaching it, then even though ETs are zipping around all over the place, the citizen effort to resolve the issue will not resolve it. And this is what they did. And, you know, there's nothing unusual about it, because the Soviet Union had all kinds of propaganda programs designed to prevent the Soviet people from engaging any number of issues, and succeeded until the whole thing eventually collapsed under the weight of its own mass mendacity. The U.S. government is simply emulating that, but, you know, it's not trying to do it across the board, though I must admit, as I've grown older, as we've approached the modern, you know, the present time, I'm starting to see increasing evidence that the UFO ET issue wasn't the only area where the government decided that that simply a straightforward presentation of the facts to the people was in their interest, and that they have been manipulating reality in a number of other areas. They haven't reached the level of the Soviet Union, but it's gone certainly far enough that it is absolutely unacceptable to our constitutional republic in the United States. And let me be clear that our allies, including Canada and Australia and the United Kingdom, and I think France as well, and other nations, have gone along with this. They are complicit in this without question. And they have to answer for this as well. But the truth embargo was primarily practiced in the United States. I think U.S. government rightly calculated that if they can keep the American people mm-hmm. baffled on this, and if they can keep the citizen effort going around in circles, that probably it wouldn't be that difficult for the other nations to stay in line. And so I guess you could say that we carried the water. And the Canada and the United Kingdom and Australia and some of these other countries just basically rode along with, on the back of, the truth embargo. They didn't have to work that hard in those countries to keep their citizens basically out of the game. But of course, that's all changing now, Robert. And other countries are stepping out. And this whole thing is coming down around it. Let me make it very clear. The truth embargo's days are nearly over.
You know, Steve, the European news is giving the press conference already front page coverage.
I'm not surprised. This is
however,
Robert, I said in a press release I sent out yesterday afternoon that we are only one media feeding frenzy away from the end of the truth embargo, and this could be it.
All right, but here's the other side of the coin. Mm-hmm. The U.S. media and the Canadian media are giving it very little. In fact, it's not even listed on CNN's site.
Well, I think people need to search again. CNN, I have confirmation that CNN live streamed the whole thing. Now, when they live stream mm-hmm. a conference like that, it's archived. It's up there. You can find it.
So that
means that the full press conference is going to be available mm-hmm. to every reporter in the world. So, I mean, the thing only ended an hour and a half ago, and they probably didn't complete their one-on-one interviews until about 20 minutes.
But what I'm saying, Steve, is that there is media out there that is showing tidbits. Most of it is the Reuters or AOL releases. And yet CNN, that was there and did an actual two-hour live stream, mm-hmm. has nothing on their website about it.
I will predict there will be something on that website before the day is over. This kind of story mm-hmm. is not like, some starlet, some movie star gets arrested for drunken driving, It's like boom, bang, there it is.
Okay.
This is extremely complicated stuff, and I think they are correctly digesting it, and I think if they're smart, they are going to digest it a little bit and put something up. I'm not mm-hmm. concerned that something will not be up, and CNN will put material up. But, others are going to. This is, let me put it this way. If about 4 days from now, mm-hmm. there has been very little coverage in American press, I will be stunned. And it will be a huge indictment of the American press once again. But the international press is going to be on it, and that's going to feed back here eventually. Mm-hmm.
I watched CNN this morning. I watched a number of the morning news shows just to see if the conference would get any morning coverage, and it didn't.
It didn't get leading coverage of CNN, but it did by Fox. Fox put out several stories and reprinted several stories that were up on the top Fox site. AOL News, particularly mm-hmm. Spiegel, ran several articles. There was decent advanced coverage. Again, the kind of advanced coverage you got was pretty darn good. Remember, the nature of this, it doesn't lend itself to the startling advanced coverage. I can assure you, if Britney Spears mm-hmm. leaked out that she was going to hold a press conference at the National Press Club and announced that she's really a man, right, and that she'd undergone a sex change, there'd be 4,000 articles. But this is not that kind of thing. I can tell you from my experience that what I'm seeing so far has the potential to grow very, very rapidly. And what is supposed to happen next is that some reporters based upon either being there or based upon seeing the press conference on the CNN video archive, should approach the press spokesperson for both the Department of Defense, the CIA, for the Defense Intelligence Committee, for the, I forget who is current. They've had several changes there. And they need to be asked direct questions to pose to Gates and Panetta. This is compelling material. These are Air Force officers. These are affidavits. What is the response of the Department of Defense? Oh, by the way, and, of course, the Air Force. Now, let me be clear. One of the reasons the truth embargo, one of the principal reasons the truth embargo has lasted so long is not because, you know, people in this, these levels of power, like Secretary of Defense and Secretary of Air Force, are brilliant at deftly dancing around such questions, because they're not. The reason the truth embargo has lasted is they don't get asked those questions. And if they ever do, particularly in this kind of a context where you've got signed affidavits and you've got former Air Force people with good records, I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're in an almost impossible situation. And the press has its limits. And so when the press sees a legitimate story and legitimate testimony and some idiot at, say, the CIA's press office or the DOD's press office says, oh, it's a bunch of clowns, they can get angry and come back at it with eight more questions.
All right,
and
stand
so
by, Stephen.
Right at the edge of possibly a breakout here in the media.
Steve, stand by. You and I have to take our final break. Exo Nation, Stephen Bassett is our special guest. www.paradigmresearchgroup.org. That's www.paradigmresearchgroup.org. I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break as we wrap up this hour here in the X Zone from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. My name is Rob McConnell. Don't go away.
With each new extreme weather event or terrorist act, it becomes increasingly obvious that we live in uncertain and challenging times. We all buy car insurance. Why not collapse and catastrophe insurance? Matthew Stein, an MIT-trained engineer and green builder, has written two outstanding books to help people prepare, plan for, and deal with everything from minor situations lasting a few days to full-on collapse. Matt's first book, When Technology Fails, is a manual for self-reliance, sustainable living, and surviving the long emergency. This massive book covers the gamut from first aid and emergency preparedness to alternative healing, renewable energy, primitive living skills, and 18th century technologies that could be critical to your comfort and survival in a long-lasting crisis. Matt's second book, When Disaster Strikes, is a comprehensive emergency preparedness handbook and survival guide. When Disaster Strikes is an essential item for every family's go bag. Both books are available at all usual sources. There's a wealth of totally free information posted at whentechfails.com, and author signed copies may be purchased at mattstein.com. That's www.whentechfails.com and www.mattstein.com. Rob McConnell here, presenting an overview for Nicholas Paul Jennings, author of a fascinating book, Amen. It presents facts revealed by Egyptologists, facts that enable us to understand why Amen is the beginning of creation of God. It provides recommendations for religious leaders of the major religions to unify their beliefs and teach the word of God, love one another. Amen informs people how mankind conceived God. It was the Egyptians that developed the concepts of a soul, a hereafter, and son of God. And finally, after the worship of many gods, they conceived the belief in one universal God, the maker of all there is. For more information, visit www.futureofgodamen.com. That's www.futureofgodamen.com.
Explanation, Steve Bassett is our special guest. It's always great having Steve on the show. Steve, and I don't know if people tell you this enough, but thank you for doing the great work that you do. It's sincerely appreciated by millions of people.
Oh, thank you, Rob. And before we wrap up, I want to make sure that I once again sing the highest praise for Robert Hastings and mm-hmm. Captain Robert Salas for putting together one of the most important press conferences on this subject ever held anywhere. It is the third major witness press conference. The first was held in May of 2001 by the Disclosure Project. The second was held in November of 2007 by Leslie Kane and James Fox. This is the third one, and this is a big one. And let me also mention that right now there are three books recently out. I mean, these are books within the last, I think, 12 months, or and sooner,
mm-hmm.
That in and of themselves, if they were read by any editor or reporter uncompromised on this issue, should be enough to launch multi-part series in papers all across the country. And I'm referring to Robert Hastings' UFOs and Nukes, then Kane, Leslie Kane's UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Speak Out, with a foreword by John Podesta, and a book that will go on sale in a couple of days. Just went on sale. I'm referring to AD, After Disclosure, by Richard Dolan. These three books alone are more than enough to make it clear to any journalist that the biggest story of all time is breaking right now underneath their nose. And it's time to get on the side of the people and start bringing this information out. And so my hat's off to Bob and Bob, and we're going to support the media coverage of this to the extent that we can.
So we've got about a minute left, Stephen. First of all, why do you think the government is so paranoid that the people of this planet find out the truth?
Paranoia is probably not the word. It's a mixture of arrogance. It's a mixture of overcaution. They know that half the people probably in the world right now already know the ETs are real, and, you know, within the context of their education mm-hmm. and background. 20% in a poll by Gallup, that believe that ETs are actually living amongst us. I don't know if that's the case, but that's a profound statement. No, this is a highly complicated, hugely geopolitical maneuver that is overdue. It should have happened. It couldn't happen before 1991.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that anybody inside military intelligence community was going to sell disclosure while there were 80,000 nuclear warheads at the peak, active and ready to be launched across the poles between the Soviet Union and the United States. They just weren't going to do it. And so the disclosure of that wasn't even possible until after the Cold War ended. So we're really only 19 years into the period when disclosure should have happened. It's not an inordinate amount of time. But the fact is that it's a complicated world.
Steve,
there's a lot of considerations, and they just haven't done it. But I can tell you, they're running out of time, Rob. It's
all
going
right
to happen and happen soon.
We've run out of time, Steve. Thanks very much. If there's anything important that comes up, give me a call. We'll get you back on as soon as we can. Take care, good buddy.
Absolutely. All right.
Bye-bye now. Steve Bassett, www.paradigmresearchgroup.org. And I'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.